Revelation 20, page 1349. Verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. Now, I felt important having keys before, but that's a key. That's a lot of authority there. Yeah, you don't want the key to the bottomless pit, do we? Don't want to get near that. It reminds me of those soldiers, those officers who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And remember, the ones that threw them in died. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked around and came out. But that angel has the key to the bottomless pit and has a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, there's no explanation here of who that angel is. But we see other reference of challenges of Michael, the archangel, and Satan. And so, could be him. Verse 3, it cast him and cast him into the bottomless pit. How many of you ever had that dream where you were falling? Anybody else ever have that dream? That sense that you're falling? And think about it. In hell, that's what it feels like. Yeah. We think about hell and the different things the Bible tells us about it. Number one, we know that it's hot. We know it's dark. We know there are flames. And I know people say, well, how can it be dark and flaming? Because the flame is hot. Also, we know that there are not bodies in hell. There are souls in hell. You see, this is not about the physical pain as much as it is and thirst, as much as it is about the psychology of it, about the sense of falling, the fear of falling, the regret for the life that, you know, we're in rejecting Christ. So, think about the mental aspect of hell, not so much the physical. And this has been the debate so many times. People say, well, how can somebody go to hell in the fire and brimstone and not burn up? And the answer to that is, they don't have a physical body. It's soul, it's spirit. Okay? But they still have the awareness and the sense of that. Now, of course, once they're judged, you know, we're judged in this body. But they're falling, that bottomless pit, falling for eternity, afraid, regret, all of those emotions, all of those feelings, all that sense, and it's just dread. We don't like that, do we? We don't want that. It's something we want to stay away from, we want to avoid. They cast him in the bottomless pit, verse 3, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. So, we've had the 7-year tribulation. We've had the battle of Armageddon. There are still people alive on the earth. Not all believers, right? There are people on the earth that are alive at this point. Satan is taken out of the way. And so, you would think that that would lead to a perfect 1,000 years with no satanic influence. Who is your biggest enemy? Even as a Christian, I'm my biggest enemy. And this devil made me do it. Doesn't work. Because the truth is, he only can go so far. And even when we look back at Job, the Lord told Satan, you can do so much, but you can't touch him. You can't take his life. And so there was a limit. There was a line that couldn't be crossed. So if you take Satan out, you take the temptation of from the devil out of the world, and you'll think that'd be perfect. Well, let's see. Verse 4, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. And judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. And for the word of God, how many of y'all want to be on one of those thrones? No, why? Because the way to earn it is to get your head chopped off, to be martyred for your faith. And so nobody's lining up saying, I want that. Remember James and John, their mom came and said, Lord, I want to ask you for something. He said, well, what is it? He said, I want one to sit on one side and one on the other. He said, well, Can they be baptized with the same baptism wherewith I'll be baptized? They said, of course. And he said, well, the truth is that might happen, but those seats are reserved. So, you know, that idea of, I want to sit right next to Jesus, well, it's going to be earned. And it's, you can't go out there and say, hey, chop my head off, I want to sit there. That's not how it works. It's persecution, not voluntary martyrdom. Those that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So these ones who have been killed, right? So when they're killed, what happens? They go to heaven. But now they're back on earth. They've come with him for that 1,000-year reign, and they're sitting on throne. They're ruling from Jerusalem. The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So, again, we're talking about on earth. When you die, when I die, our spirit goes to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Remember, Paul told us that. So, our spirit will go to heaven. Our body will go in the grave, maybe burn to ashes, whatever it may be. And so, that spirit stays in heaven, and at judgment we'll receive an eternal body, a celestial body, a glorified body, whatever word, whatever adjective you want to use, we're going to receive our permanent body. A body, by the way, that doesn't have any arthritis or cancer or any disease. That'll be good, won't it? So we're in heaven. Our souls are in heaven. And the first resurrection is these ones who have been martyred for the cause of Christ during the tribulation period, during the war of Armageddon, the battle of Armageddon. Actually, in Armageddon, only the unbelievers die. So the martyrs in the tribulation period follow so far. Everybody's on board. They come back to reign with Christ for the 1,000-year period. Now, I know the 1,000 years is kind of hard for us to reconcile. We can't wrap our minds around it. And so people will say, well, that's a figurative number. You understand that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day? The Bible says that. Now, is it going to be one day? No, it's going to be 1,000 years. Well, what I'm trying to express here is that our concept of time and our concept of 1,000 years and God's concept of 1,000 years are different. You know, Jesus said, right, I come quickly. Revelation, that was 2,000 years ago. What's God's concept of time? Quickly, 2,000 years later, quickly has not been fulfilled. But he's coming as a thief in the night. And behold, he comes quickly. So don't worry, don't fuss, don't choke on the 1,000 years. I believe it's a literal 1,000 years. But for us, that's hard to imagine. Not for God. Okay? So we have 1,000 years. We have Jesus ruling from Jerusalem. We have the martyrs ruling from Jerusalem. We still have the whole population out there unsaved. Right? So, but here, we don't have Satan. You think it's a perfect 1,000 years, don't you? You think it'd be perfect. But the truth is, we've got enough, excuse the terminology, we've got enough devil in us that we don't need the devil to tempt us. We don't need any outside influences. Remember going back to the book of Genesis before the flood, and it's written several times in the scripture? The imagination of the thoughts of their heart were always evil continually. So in our minds, that spark, that imagination, there's been a whole lot of inventions and a whole lot of misbehavior in history and in our culture that the devil had nothing to do with, because the ball was already rolled. So there's going to be still plenty of sinners around. And all the rest of the ones who have died are not going to live again on earth until the 1,000 years is finished, because this is the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 7, when 1,000 years are expired. Boy, that was quick. You see, it's hard for us, but the Lord just moves on to the next verse. By the way, where did John get that idea? He's having the revelation. The things, many of these things he's seen in his vision, his mind's eye, his spiritual eye, if you will. He's seeing these things come to pass. How does he know it's 1,000 years? Because obviously the Lord told him it's 1,000 years. So even though he moves, you know, in just a couple of verses, then he moves on to the next point. So that means that 1,000-year term didn't come from John. It came from God. So don't get the idea that it's just his imagination. No, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ given to John. Verse 7, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So for 1,000 years, there's been no satanic influence outside of human influence. Jesus has been reigning from Jerusalem with the martyrs. So you would think, you know, in 1,000 years, we ought to be able to turn it around, right? In 1,000 years, we ought to be able to get everybody whipped back in shape. I'd be able to get everybody on board with Christianity. Wouldn't you imagine that? We think if we could just get everybody going to church for, you know, just for some period of time, we'd get them straight now. God's still working on me. He's still working on you. But you take Jesus is in Jerusalem and the whole world is out there and there's no satanic influence and all there is the human nature to choose between the Christ or the flesh. Those are the options. Now, do you imagine that people get saved in that period of time? Do you imagine there are some who come to believe during that period of time? Verse 8, and Satan shall go out to deceive the nations. So there are still other kings, there are still other presidents, there are still other governors, prime ministers, whatever you say, but nations of people out there. In the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So when Satan is released from 1,000-year prison sentence, when he's released out of there, the first thing he does is come back and say, we're going to take care and we're going to win. I am going to conquer this. Now, that shouldn't surprise us because the reason that he ended up in hell to begin with, at odds with God to begin with, is because of the pride of his heart. He decided that he would ascend the throne of God and remove God from being the head of all things. He decided he would be God. Well, that got him cast out of heaven. And he had a following. A following of 1/3 of the angels in heaven. Now, you can imagine if you were an angel, if we were one of those angels, we just said, no way, Lucifer. You go if you want to. You be a rebel if you want to. But I see what God is, what God has done. I see who God is, and I'm not going to betray him. I'm not going to try to go to the other side. There is none beside him. There is no other God. And you might be beautiful, and you might have the most wonderful voice and the most beautiful music, but you're not God. But he had a following. He had a following in heaven against God. And they were cast out of heaven. And being cast out of heaven, now they've had all this time reserved, Bible says, reserved in chains of darkness. They've had all this time to think about what they've done and the pride of their heart. And when Satan is loosed, and that after that 1,000 years, the first thing is that pride comes again. He says, well, I might not have been able to do it before now, but this time I'm going to give it. Don't you imagine that he thought he had won the victory when Jesus died on that cross? You imagine that he thought, boy, I won now. And Jesus didn't just die and go away. Jesus died and went to hell, to that Abraham's bosom, that other half of hell. And don't you know that Satan could see him there and he thought he had won? And that third day, he hadn't won. Don't you know that discouraged him? But then he decided he'd attack the church, and he'd attack the apostles, and he'd attack the nations, and still at it. And that day, after the 1,000 years, when he's loosed, he's going to lead a revolt against Jesus. Why? Because Jesus doesn't go along with what everybody else wants. Because there are rules and there are boundaries and there's right and there's wrong. I know everybody likes to have a gray area. Well, it's not necessarily wrong. But with God, there's no gray area. When Jesus is ruling and reigning, the Bible says, with a rod of iron. What the concept for me that's hard is that if Jesus is reigning, how could anybody resist him? But they resisted him the first time. Verse 9, they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And I think about Jerusalem and how as they pour around, they crowd all around the city. And God doesn't waste any time. Fire from heaven. And that's it. Verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. So what's his end? That's his end. Cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Where the beast and the false prophet will already be. They already are. And they shall be tormented day and night until they burn up. Finally, somebody went, forever and ever. Again, in our minds, we see a body, we take a body and we see it burn or we cremation, and so we see that that's dissolved. And so we think the same thing of hell, fire and brimstone. No, because we're talking about a spiritual existence. Forever and ever. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. What books? There's 66 of them right here. They give us instruction of how to live. 66 books. You want test prep? There's your test prep. You want to prepare for the final exam? There it is. You want to know a little insight on the judge when you have to stand before him? There's your insight. I don't understand how we can ignore this book when we know we're going to stand in judgment by it. I don't understand how people can turn away from the Word of God when God says that's what's going to judge. Hey, you know, if the Baptists say you can't dance, will we answer for that in heaven? Tell David about it. What? What does it say in the Bible? If the Baptists, I don't want to go too far, but better follow them rules. But whatever rules you could think of, all right? If you can't wear culottes, remember those? That was a big thing 30 years ago. Can't wear shorts and all. You know, all these things. Where does the Bible say that? So let's look at what the Bible says. You know why? Because that's what's going to judge us. Somebody called me the other night, and I won't tell you the exact details of it, but they said, is this wrong and is this wrong? Because my brother says that it's wrong. And I said, what does the Bible say? I don't know. I said, then you better dig in and find out. I can tell you that the Bible says this. I can tell you that the Bible says this. I can tell you that the Bible says this. But I can tell you that the Bible doesn't say what he said it says. So if somebody comes to you, and this is something, in the first church I pastored, there was a policy on the books, and this is what they believe, and this is what we stand for. And finally, somebody challenged me because I had somebody asked me a question, and I answered an honest question from the scripture. And they said, they called and said, there must be some misunderstanding. And I said, there's no misunderstanding. Well, but the Bible says such as such. And I said, please refer me to the verse of scripture. Well, I don't know what it is, but I know it's in there. I said, well, just, it's no hurry. Get back to me. Nearly got me fired. Happens sometimes. I'll tell you, it's a shame that we fired the preacher because he stands on the Word of God. I tell you, it's a shame that we fired the preacher because he wants to stick to what the Bible says. But you know, there are people who will do that. And they'll try to lead a revolt against the preacher. I mean, it's no revolt. I don't want to be where I'm not wanted, to tell you the truth. Stick to the Scripture. So, what do you believe? Doesn't matter what the Baptists believe. What matters is what the Bible teaches, what the Bible says. Now, are there some things that we deduct and we say, well, it's not exactly written this way, but you get the idea through logical reason and deduction. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. What does the Bible say? All right, enough of that. Judge by the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So we've got judgment, and judgment, and judgment. So in this, at the end of this millennial reign, Satan is loose for a season. And at the end of that, Satan is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And then begins the judgment of those who rejected God. And the first ones that are judged are the ones who are still alive. And the next ones that are judged, remember, because it said those that were dead live not again until the end of 1,000 years. Once those who are alive are judged, then those who are in the sea, all those who are dead, they're all judged. The great white throne judgment. For their unbelief in God. And God's not going to pull any new rules. Just what's in the book. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And so this is a teaching that we say, well, if you die without Jesus, you're going to spend eternity in hell, right? That's what we say. It's not accurate. Because you're only in hell till judgment. And then you're cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So if you, I know that we mean well. I know that we're not trying to be dishonest or misrepresent what the Bible says, but hell is not eternal. Hell is cast in the lake of fire with the devil and the beast and the false prophet and all those who reject. Look, this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the what? Eternal. Okay? So hell is cast in the lake of fire. Again, are we splitting hairs? Just trying to be honest. Just trying to be factual, biblical. So somebody says, you don't spend eternity in hell. You say, well, you're right. If you don't believe in Jesus, if you reject God, if you die without Christ, you don't spend eternity in hell. Because hell is just a holding place. Because death and hell will be cast in the lake of fire. And all those who are not found written in the book of life are cast in the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 15. Now, do we believe that? I believe every word of the book. I believe it means what it says. It says what it means. Now, there are obviously some parallels in there, some parables in there, some things that we don't take literally. They are figurative, but it's easy to distinguish between what's literal and what's figurative. When it says, they're cast in the lake of fire, brimstone, which burneth what? Forever and ever. It means what it says. Now, if we believe that, It ought to affect how we treat people. It ought to affect how we evangelize, how we reach people, how we move to help people find Christ. Because eternity is forever. And no matter how awful of a relationship you have with someone, hell is not a good alternative. We need to lead them to Christ, if at all possible. It needs to be our number one priority. Any comments, questions, complaints? Why are the lost judged according to their works?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because we're not just... See, and this is a great question. The question is, why are they judged according to their works? Are we judged... We're judged on one thing, and that's according to our works, right? What we've done with what God's given us. We get to heaven not based on judgment. Getting to heaven is already determined by our faith in Christ, right? So that's what happens with the saved. But the lost are not just judged on whether they're believers or whether they've accepted Christ, because obviously nobody in that line has. But they're judged by their works. And this, and I don't know, you may already have an answer for this, and that's the reason you asked the question. But there's a strong belief that there are degrees of punishment. So, see, she already knew the answer before she asked it. She was trying to push me to. The degrees of judgment are punishment, so that it's not just a matter of whether you go to hell because you didn't believe, but it's a matter of if you were a, and I, you know, we could label sins, and the worst one I can think of is child molester. Will burn harder than anybody else. Now, scripture for that one. Yeah, that's the hard part. Go ahead. Well, I mean, you understand, again, we're on the first day of the week, Sunday morning, Isle of Patmos. John is worshiping, and the Holy Spirit of God is giving him this revelation. He's seeing all these things, and he's writing all these things. You know, so all this vision that's occurring, he's able to record it. I would say it was, how long would it take you to write a book of the length of Revelation, a story? Especially one that goes from, you know, earth to heaven. You know, write these letters. I want you to write all these letters. So he writes the letters to the seven churches. And that probably took a couple of hours, wouldn't you? I would say so. A couple of hours to write all these letters. And then he is caught up in this vision to heaven, and he sees the throne. And so I would say all day, constant vision. Because we see revelations or visions in the Old Testament. Ezekiel and Isaiah come to mind. And so they have that. And then we go back to, and then on Monday, I went to the grocery store. Yeah. And then the Lord came to me again, right? Well, here it's just one flow. So, yeah, I believe it was an all-day recording. I don't know. Just a guess. Good. Any other questions? Good. Great point. Thank you. Take a break.